بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, this is another lesson that we're having, reading from Kitab al-Ilm, from Sahih al-Bukhari. And last week, or the week before, we left off on the chapter which is titled Al-Khuruju Fi Talab al-Ilm, or an individual going out to seek knowledge. And we mentioned the first athar. We mentioned the first athar in that chapter, which was the athar of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the fact that he went to visit Abdullah bin Unais. And we mentioned the full narration of that was the fact that Jabir heard a hadith, and it was mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said something pertaining to Yawm al-Qiyamah, saying something pertaining to Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that actual hadith was the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَحْشُرُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ رَاتْ, to the end of the hadith, because the actual full wording of the hadith is mentioned in the Mu'jam of Imam al-Tabrani and in other books, and it's mentioned that the Sahabi mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people would be naked on the Day of Judgment. So Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was in fact from amongst the Mukthirin, fi riwayati athar, he's in fact from the individuals who narrated a plentiful amount of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir ibn Abdullah, when he heard that narration from a third party, he wanted to hear directly from the Sahabi, who heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, فَاشْتَرَيْتُ بَعِيرًا ثُمَّ شَدَّدْتُ رَحْلِي فَسِرْتُ إِلَيْهِ شَهْرًا حَتَّى قَدِمْتُ الشَّامِ, to the end of the narration. We mentioned it in the last lesson that we had. He said, I bought a camel, and I gathered my provisions, and I traveled for 1 month until I approached Sham, which was Syria. I traveled for 1 month, until I approached Sham. And this shows you, without a doubt, it shows you the merits of seeking knowledge. The merits of traveling, not just seeking knowledge, but traveling to seek knowledge. And that is the case, because if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahala Allahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah," whoever traverses a path, whoever walks a path, whoever travels a path seeking knowledge, Allah would make his path easy for him to Jannah. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they realized that there is nothing that's too expensive for Jannah. Meaning, if I have to do what I have to do, if I need to travel where I need to travel, if I need to obtain that which I need to obtain in order for Allah to make my path easy for me to Jannah, then I'm going to do it. And they had that in their minds. That was their understanding. And likewise, it should be our understanding. If we have to buy a book to gain knowledge, or for our children to gain knowledge, or for our spouses, husbands and wives and the likes to gain knowledge, if this is going to be a means for me entering into Jannah, then why not do so? And it's sad that you have individuals from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when it comes to purchasing new items such as cars, such as new clothing, such as watches, such as jewelry, we find them to be at the forefront. They're racing to do so. They're racing to have that which is new. They're racing to have that which is beautiful. And there's not a problem in them doing so, but it should be more so a race for that which gets you into Jannah. It should be more so of a race for that which you gets you into Jannah. But it's a reality, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You prefer this life, and the next life is better, and it's everlasting. The next life is better, and it's everlasting. And then we went into the hadith, which was the same hadith that we've done previously, which was the hadith of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And we're not going to mention any more fawaid, because we've mentioned the fawaid of this hadith in the past. The fact that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went out to seek knowledge. And we mentioned the narration that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that if anyone would have sufficed with the knowledge that he had, it would have been Musa, because he was a prophet, he was a messenger. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a prophet and he was a messenger, and he did not allow his position and his status to deter him from seeking knowledge. Not only to deter him from seeking knowledge, but to deter him from seeking knowledge on an individual who was on a less level. Not only would his status as a prophet and messenger, and not only a prophet and messenger, but Kalimullah, because Allah Azzawajal spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directly, like he spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. So not only did he not allow his status to deter him, distract him from seeking knowledge, but he was going to seek knowledge from a person who was on a less level. Why? Because he was not seeking knowledge from another prophet or messenger. And we know that in terms of the highest from amongst the human beings are the prophets and the messengers. The highest from amongst in status with Allah Azza wa Jal, the highest are the prophets and the messengers. And then you have the shuhada, and then you have the salihin. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he's not going to seek knowledge in this qissa, in this story. He was not going to seek knowledge from a prophet or a messenger, which is the rajah with regards to Khidr or Khadr. He was a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given knowledge to. But the rajah, the most correct opinion, is that he's not a prophet nor is he a messenger. That he's not a prophet nor is he a messenger. So Musa was going to seek knowledge from an individual who was on a less level. And that is not a problem. And that is not a problem, because the believer understands that knowledge should be at the forefront. And if an individual has knowledge that I don't have, the individual does not mind seeking it from that person. Likewise, you had it in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet in Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Mecca, and the Sahaba went to Mecca to perform the Umrah, and we know that they were blocked and they were prevented, and the Prophet ﷺ had ordered the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum to shave their heads, and they refused to do so. Not that they were opposing the Messenger ﷺ, but because it was something that was hurting them. And the Prophet ﷺ went inside of his home and he got advice from his wife. There's no doubt the wife of the Prophet ﷺ is not on the same level as the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ accepted her advice. He went out, he shaved his head, and the companions, they followed. And the companions, they followed. And we have already mentioned the statement of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that an alim seeks knowledge from those of three categories: those who are above, those who are on his level, and those who are lower than his level. Sheikh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi mentioned a fa'ida, and I can't recall that we mentioned it, and he says that from the fawa'id of this hadith of the qissa of Musa is that the anbiya wal mursaleen, they are humans and they make mistakes. Or his actual wording, I should correct it, because I'm going to go into another mas'ala, is that they are humans, they forget as other people forget. He said they forget as other people forget. He didn't say they make mistakes as other people make mistakes. But with regards to the mistake, do the prophets and messengers, and this is a mas'ala. The prophets and messengers, is it allowed for them to make mistakes? Once again, a mas'ala, an issue. The prophets and messengers, is it allowed for them to make mistakes? The ulama mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, a clarification of that. One is that the prophets and the messengers do not make major, they do not fall into major sin. Ulama mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that one, the prophets and the messengers, they do not fall into major sin, which means they can make minor mistakes. That's one. And two, that the prophets and messengers are not, it is not possible that the prophets and messengers can make mistakes with regards to the legislation. So I'll say that again. The mas'ala is that, and please keep in mind that we don't allow the questions during the lesson. The questions come at the end, even in Allah Ta'ala. Like we said before, the prophets and the messengers, yani, is it allowed? Is it possible? Is it allowed or is it possible that the prophets and messengers make mistakes? That's the title of the mas'ala. And with regards to some of the tafasil, some of the specifics of the mas'ala, one is that the prophets and messengers are free of major sin. They are free of major sin. And two is that the prophets and messengers, it is impossible that they make mistakes with regards to the legislation. It's impossible that they make mistakes with regards to the legislation. Sorry. Before we move on, going into the next hadith, I have a question. And that is, and this is just to, once again, we always say the interaction, and to get the minds working. Get the people to think, as the Prophet ﷺ used to do so, like we've learned in the previous chapter, where the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, "Verily, from amongst the trees, there is a tree like the believer. Who can tell me what it is?" Right? In implementing the Sunnah with regards to teaching, my question is: the story of Musa ﷺ, the story of Musa. If a person wanted to read further on the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with Khidr, what type of Islamic books would they read? If a person wanted to read the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what type of Islamic books? This time I'm asking a question to the audience. Somebody wrote tafsir? No. Sah, they would read it in tafsir. But one at a time, please. The answers, one at a time. One at a time. If you even you put your answer, just wait. Hold it in your box until I address it. Type. The first sister, she mentioned tafsir. Type. Why would the story of Musa and Khidr be found in tafsir? Why? Why would it be found in the books of tafsir? Because in Surah Al-Kahf, Ahsanti. Very good. Wait. Brothers and sisters, wait. Wait for me to respond. Correct, because it is in Quran. It is in Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf. So the fact that it's in Quran, if you want to go deep into the story, you would go into the books of tafsir. Fine. No, and continue. I'm not done. With regards to the sister that answered that, please name some of the books, the authentic books of tafsir. Please name some of the authentic books of tafsir. Tafsir Ibn Kathir is one of the most authentic books of tafsir. Ahsant. Type. There was a book of tafsir. Type. This is the answer to that. Now I'm going to move on to other people. There's a book of tafsir, and I'll give this to Abu Zainab. There's a book of tafsir that came before tafsir Ibn Kathir, and some of the ulama hold it is the best al-itlaq, yani in general, some of the ulama hold it to be the best book of tafsir, and it came before the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Even so much so, many of the tafsir that were written after this tafsir take from this tafsir. Do you know the name of that book of tafsir? And that question was for Abu Zainab. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, Ahsant. Ibn Jarir, the tafsir of Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, Ahsant. That is one of the best tafsirs. And that tafsir came before the tafsir of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's mentioned that every tafsir or most of the tafsir that came after Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, they took from Imam Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala. Fine. Another person mentioned Raghiba. She mentioned stories from Ibn Kathir. Fine. So you're referring to the stories. Which stories? Which stories are you referring to? The stories of Ibn Kathir. Which stories are you referring to? Stories from the Quran. Now, there is a story from the Quran, but there was one, and we can ask Asif Iqbal. There's a book by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala that is more another book by Ibn Kathir that would have the story of Musa alayhi salam. Can Asif know the name of that book? Qasas al-Anbiya Ahsantum. Correct. Stories of the Prophets. Stories of the Prophets. Qasas al-Anbiya by Ibn Kathir. So it would have the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Can anyone think of another book? Islamic book, other than the people that Raghiba, she's not allowed to answer. Hadith, she's answered already. Ahsanti. Hadith, naam, correct. The books of Hadith. And why? Why do we say the books of Hadith? Because right now we're reading a book of Hadith. We're reading a book of Hadith, and we found this story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Ahsantum. Fine, and moving on to the next Hadith, which is the chapter باب فضل من علم وعلم. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا محمد بن علا. And محمد بن علا رحمه الله تعالى, محمد بن علا is Abu Kurayb. محمد بن علا is Abu Kurayb, and he's well known for his kunya. محمد بن علا الحمداني, he's ثقة حافظ, well known for his most known by his kunya. حدثنا حماد بن سلمة أبو سلمة, he's also well known from among the Salaf. You have حماد بن زيد, you have حماد بن سلمة. And to inform you of a faida, to inform you of a faida, حماد بن أسامة. Some might say, what about Hamad bin Salama? Because we, you know, from the famous name of the Salaf, Hamad bin Salama. But there's a fa'ad, and Hamad bin Salama does not have a hadith. Hamad bin Salama does not have a hadith inside Bukhari. His ahadith are in Sahih Muslim. So you have Hamad bin Usama, you have Hamad bin Zayd, but in Sahih Bukhari, you do not have Hamad bin Salama. Type, and moving on, Buraid bin Abdullah. And then you have on the authority of Abi Burda. And Abi Burda is Ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. Abi Burda is the son of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. So you have a father narrating, you have a son narrating from his father. In this chain of narration, you have a son narrating from his father. And he's thiqa, and his hadith are in Kutub al-Sittah. And his name is, it said his name is Amir. It said his name, Abi Burda, it said his name is Amir, and some said his name is Harith. On the authority of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, his name is Abdullah bin Qais. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, his name is Abdullah bin Qais. And you also have, from the same tribe, Abu Sa'id. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, his name is Abdullah bin Qais. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِي اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْحُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ كَمَثَلِ الْغَيْثِ الْكَثِيرِ أَصَابَ أَرْضًا فَكَانَ مِنْهَا نَقِيَّةٌ قَبِلَةِ الْمَاءِ فَأَنْبَتَتِ الْكَلَعَ وَالْعُشْبَ الْكَثِيرِ وَكَانَتْ مِنْهَا أَجَادِبْ أَمْسَكَتِ الْمَاءِ فَنَفَأَ اللَّهُ بِهَا النَّاسِ فَشَرِبُوا وَسَقَوا وَزَرَعُوا وأصابت منها طائفة أخرى إنما هي كيعان لا تمسك ماء ولا تنبت كلا فذلك مثل ما من فقه في الدين الله ونفعه ما بعثني الله به فعلم وعلم، ومثل من لم يرفع بذلك رأسا ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به. قال أبو عبد الله يعني البخاري، قال إسحاق ابن راهوي: وكان منها طائفة قيلت الماء قاع يعلوه الماء وصفصف المستوي من الأرض. This hadith, or the English wording of the hadith, and the hadith is on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah bin Qais. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me is like abundant rain falling on the earth, some of which has fertile soil that absorbed rainwater and brought forth vegetation and grass in abundance. And another portion of it was hard and held the rain water, and Allah benefited the people with it, and they utilized it for drinking, making the animals drink or allowing the animals to drink from it, and to irrigate the land for cultivation. And a third portion of it was barren, which could neither hold the water nor bring forth vegetation. The first example of the person who comprehends Allah's religion and gets benefit from the knowledge which Allah Ta'ala has revealed through me, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and learns and then teaches it to others. And the last example is that of a person who does not care for it and does not take, and he does not raise his head, meaning he does not care for it, and he does not take Allah's guidance revealed through me and through the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is an important hadith, and it displays exactly what Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in the chapter, and that is the merits of a person who learns and teaches. Right. Before we go into the hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, why is Imam Bukhari mentioning the merits of the person who learns and teaches? Because we've already done that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala brought the merits of knowledge, and we've already gone over the fact that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions narrations pertaining to the greatness of going to seek knowledge, and we've already gone over and studied the fact that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala brought narrations on how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated so that a person can become knowledgeable. Now Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, ka'annahu, it seems like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is given an ishara. It seems like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is given an ishara. He's given an indication that when you do give that knowledge that we spoke about, when you do give that knowledge that you traveled for, how should you treat the knowledge? What should you do with it? What should you do with it? You got the knowledge. You understood the merits of the knowledge. You traveled to seek the knowledge. You supplicated and Allah opened up the doors of knowledge for you. Now what should you do with that knowledge? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is informing the student that now it is upon you to teach it to others. Now it's upon you to teach it to others. As it was mentioned by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala when he was questioned about the niyyah, that a person should have when he studies and learns, he says, أَنْ يَنْوِي رَفْعَ الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَعَنْ غَيْرِهِ, that the person should intend to remove ignorance from himself and from others. So that's something that you should understand. It's very important that the individual, he learns and he teaches. He learns and he teaches. And the ulama rahimahullah ta'ala, they mentioned that the teaching of the knowledge is the zakat of the knowledge. The teaching of the knowledge is in fact considered from the zakat of the knowledge. Just like when you have money and you give zakat, Allah gives you barakat in the money that remains. Allah Azza wa Jal gives you barakat, He gives you blessing in the money that remains. And likewise is the affair with knowledge. If you learn the religion and you spend it, meaning you teach it, Allah would give you barakat in the knowledge that remains. And Allah would increase that which remains. He would increase that which remains. Why would Allah increase it? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that His servants learn. His servants understand. Simply so that they learn and understand? No. For that which is greater. So that they can implement that which they learn and that which they understand. So if there are individuals that are walking the earth, whether in the east or whether in the west, if there are individuals that are walking the earth and they are dispersing the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and the knowledge of this religion, Allah Azza wa Jal is grateful to those individuals. Allah Azza wa Jal is grateful to those individuals. So when He, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, sees that those individuals are giving the knowledge that Allah has dispersed or that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has granted them and blessed them with, Allah gives them more. Why? وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We will not punish the people until we send them a messenger. So Allah wants the message to get out. Allah wants the people to be aware of the correct religion. Allah wants the people to be aware of the correct rulings. So He gives the knowledge. To those people that get it and give it, Allah gives them more. Give it more. Gets more, gives more. Gets more, gives more. And to those people that keep it to themselves, Allah does not continue to give them more. In general, Allah does not continue to give them more. Why? Because that individual only benefits himself, but he's not benefiting the creation. Allah doesn't only want you to be benefited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only want you to be benefited. He wants the rest of the creation also likewise to be benefited. And we're going to understand that clearly in this hadith. We're going to understand that clearly in this hadith. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the example of what Allah has sent me of guidance and knowledge. The example of what Allah has sent me of guidance and knowledge. Like, here we find the Prophet ﷺ striking examples. We find our beloved Messenger ﷺ striking examples. And there's no doubt that that's a part of our religion. That's a part of our religion. Before striking examples, a part of our religion is to teach others. Is to clarify. That's a part of our religion. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيقَاتِ, when Allah Ta'ala mentioned where Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَقْتُمُونَ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ, I made a mistake in the beginning of the verse. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, when Allah took the oath of the people who He has given the book, لَتُبَيُّنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ, you will clarify it to the people, وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. So Allah took an oath with the people of knowledge. Allah took an oath that they would teach the book and they would not hide it. So they placed it behind their backs and they purchased with it ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. They purchased with it minute things. So Allah Ta'ala is admonishing the people that the people that learn and do not teach. And that's in Surah Ali Imran. That's in Surah Ali Imran. And likewise Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مَنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى. And this was this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, the 159th verse, this was actually mentioned in the Qissah of Abu Hurairah. This was actually mentioned in the story of Abu Hurairah, where the people came and they said, Abu Hurairah is narrating too much after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we're going to read inside Bukhari. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Hurairah was narrating a lot. He's from the Mukthirin fi riwayati athar. He's from the individuals that narrated a lot. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was narrating a lot, and the people say he's narrating too much. So Abu Hurairah gathered the people and he says, verily you're saying I'm narrating too much. If it was not for one verse in the book of Allah, I would keep my mouth shut. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلناه من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. سورة البقرة 159 verse, where Allah SWT said, "Verily those who conceal that which we have revealed of clarification of guidance after it has been made clear to them for the people in the book, verily they are the ones who Allah curses and the people curse." Abu Huraira Abdurrahman bin Sakhr al-Dawsi, Abu Huraira Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi, he said, "If it was not for this verse, I would keep my mouth shut. I would keep my mouth shut." So this shows you that the way of the believer is that we have to give the message. We don't learn for ourselves, only for ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's going to be clear in the hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to learn for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, for our neighbors. It should not be the way of a believer, the way of a Salafi, the way of a Muslim, that you only learn for yourself. And you don't try to teach others, and you don't try to disperse the knowledge, and you don't try to spread the knowledge. And how much would Allah be happy with you if you spread this knowledge, and people that were once ignorant now become knowledgeable? People that were once in sin now become obedient. People that were once astray are now guided. That is loved by Allah Azza wa Jal. That is loved by Allah. Likewise, the fact that the Prophet, the striking of the examples, to show you that that's also part of teaching, a method of teaching. The striking of examples, because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is striking an example. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does the same thing in the Quran. He strikes examples. So the way of a good teacher, not to say that all day just he sits and strikes examples, no. But the way of a good teacher is that بِضَرْبِ الْمِثَالِ يَقْطَدِهِ الْمَقَالِ. The way of a good teacher is that he tries to strike examples. As Allah SWT says in the Quran, Surah Al-Ankabut, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ نَضْرِبُهَا وَمَا يَعْكِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Ankabut, in the beginning of the Surah, Allah SWT says, "And these are the parables that we strike." And these are the parables that we strike. And then Allah SWT also said in the Quran, and toward the end of the Quran, as many of us have memorized in Surah Al-Hashr, "لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون." We read it a lot, but did we realize that Allah SWT is striking, Allah SWT is mentioning the importance of striking examples, striking parables. Allah SWT says, "لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن." If we were to bring down this Quran, if we were to place the Quran على جبل, on a mountain, if we were to place the Quran on a mountain, لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله, you would find the mountain shaking in fear. You would find the mountain shaking in fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, of awe, reverence, fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then what does Allah SWT says? وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these are the examples, these are the parables that we strike for the people so that they can reflect. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned about this hadith, because notice in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, "The example of that which Allah has sent me with of huda, of guidance and knowledge, is the example of the abundance, you know, an abundant amount of rain, is the example of an abundant amount of rain. And this rain, asaba ardan, this rain has fallen upon the earth. And there are three forms, there are three types of earth. The first type is that which is fertile. It absorbed the rain and it brought forth the vegetation, an abundance of grass." So that's the first type. The type of rain that took the type of soil. It's the first type of soil. The type of soil that took the rain, it absorbed it. So it's the type of individual, he benefits himself. The type of individual, he benefits himself. He takes it. He takes the guidance. He takes the knowledge. He takes the understanding. He takes the wisdom. He himself, he has accepted the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then He brings about, what does he do? Then he brings about the vegetation. He brings about the plants, he brings about the flowers, he brings about the crops. So he himself has benefited because he's absorbed the rain and he has helped others. That's the first type, and that's the first, and that's the first type, and that's the type that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praising. That's the first type of soil, and that is the type of soil or land that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praising. The person that accepts it, benefits it from himself, and then he gives it to others. And then he gives it to others. And then he mentioned the second type, another portion of land, is that which is hard. That which is hard. And it is another portion which is hard, and it held the rain, and Allah benefited the people with it. And they utilized it for drinking and for making their animals drink from it. And the irrigation to the land for cultivation. So this is another type that in itself did not absorb. This is another type of soil. The type of soil that's hard, it does not absorb the rain. But what it does, it holds the rain. So the rain stays on the top. So for example, it's dry land, it's hard land, the rain falls. It creates like puddles, and the rain doesn't absorb inside of the soil. It stays on top. So the people come, they can drink from it, their animals can drink from it, they can use it for irrigation to other lands to benefit. That is the type of individual who he himself does not accept the knowledge. He himself does not accept it, meaning he himself does not benefit from it. But what does he do? He holds it for other people to benefit from. And that's a reality that you have in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have individuals, mathalan, you have individuals who, a'udhu billah, they conquered Muslim lands. And like we mentioned in the past about the issue of books, we've mentioned in the past about the issues of books, where you had the Crusades and the likes, they came and they conquered the Muslim lands. And it's not that that's evil. But some of the Crusades did not burn the books. Some of them took the books of the Muslims and took them back to their own lands. So if you go to Berlin, if you go to certain parts of England, if you go to the Library of Congress in America, if you go to their libraries, their actual public libraries, you can find manuscripts of books that were written by ulama of the Salaf. You can find manuscripts of books that were written by ulama of the Salaf. And some of the ulama have traveled to those books, to those libraries. Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, like we've mentioned in the past, Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari has visited the libraries in England, and he's visited the libraries in Paris. And I don't recall him ever visiting, I don't recall me reading that he ever visited the library in America. But he definitely visited the libraries in Europe. He definitely visited the libraries in Europe. And he got those manuscripts. You can photocopy them, or you can sit and you write them. And Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to prefer to write them. He used to sit down and write them out himself. Right? He used to sit down and write them out himself. And then he brings them back to the Muslim lands, and he gives them to the book publishers. They print the books, and who benefits? We benefit from them now. And there are many books that are on the Muslim shelves. There are many books that are on the shelves of the Islamic libraries now that the manuscripts were taken from the libraries in Europe. That's an example of an individual. That's an example of an individual. He himself did not benefit, but he held the knowledge and other people benefited. Likewise, you got method in the books of Muhammad Fuad Abdul Baqi. The books of Muhammad Fuad Abdul Baqi. Muhammad Fuad Abdul Baqi was an Egyptian, rahimahullah ta'ala, was an Egyptian who used to like al-bahth. He used to like to do research. He was not very religious. If you look at his photos and the likes of that, you can see, because you can find some of his photos on some of his books, you can see that he's not very religious. But did he do a service for Islam? He himself, in terms of implementation of the Sunnah and the likes of that, you don't find it on Muhammad Fuad Abdul Baqi, rahimahullah ta'ala. But did he do a service for Islam? Yes. You have Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufahras. You have, like, it's like an index of Quranic verses where you're looking, it's called a mu'jam al-mufahris li-alfaz al-Quran al-Kareem, I believe. If you're looking for a verse in Quran or a word in Quran, he tells you exactly where you can find that word in Quran, every single verse. It's one of the books that a tullab al-ilm should always have in his library. It's called mu'jam al-mufahris li-alfaz al-Quran al-Kareem. It's one of a book that a talib al-ilm should always have in his library. And every single talib al-ilm in general uses it. Scholar, talib al-ilm, if you need to find a word in the Quran, the word taqwa, which verses and the likes, when you're preparing for your khutbahs and the likes of that. Although if you're mutamakkin, you don't need it, because you should know those things, but in general. Right? Muhammad Fuad al-Zubaqi is the individual that, he's the individual that compiled that book. And he did it when you didn't have computer programs. So he himself is not a sahib al-sunnah. That's something well known. He himself is not sahib al-sunnah. But he's an individual that preserved the knowledge and gave it to others. He did not absorb it, implemented himself. But he compiled books and he benefited the Muslim Ummah. And likewise, he also did the tartib of Sahih Muslim. He also did the tabweeb, Afwan. He also did the tabweeb of Sahih Muslim. Muhammad Fuad al-Baqi, or I should say the tartib. No, because the tabweeb was done by Imam al-Nawawi. The tabweeb was done by Imam al-Nawawi. But the tartib, he did, you know, he did some great works. He did some great works, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, so that's the example of an individual. He himself does not absorb the knowledge, but he holds it and he benefits other people with the knowledge. And a third portion is that which is barren, which could neither hold the water nor bring forth vegetation. This is the type of person, he himself does not benefit, nor does he benefit others. And that is the worst type. And that is the worst type. The person that does not accept the knowledge, does not absorb the knowledge, and nor does he give it to others. Saqid shay la yu'ti. Person that don't have, can't give. Person that doesn't have, cannot give. So that was the last example that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the example of the knowledge and the guidance that Allah has brought to me, meaning the first example and the second example, but definitely not the third example. But the third example with regards to the people, the third example, yes, the people, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the example of guidance and knowledge, meaning how it is accepted by the people. That's an important thing that you understand when you read this hadith. The example of the guidance and the knowledge, not the guidance and the knowledge itself. All of the guidance and the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ is tremendous. All of the guidance and knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ is magnificent. All of the guidance and the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, it's perfect. But that which the Prophet ﷺ is referring to is the three categories of people in terms of their acceptance or rejection of that knowledge. It was mentioned by Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, لما جاء به من الدين, he said, ضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is mentioning an example. He's striking a parable. لما جاء به من الدين, for that which he has brought of the religion. مثلا, he has struck a parable. بالغيث العام الذي يأتي في حال حاجتهم إليه. The Prophet has struck a parable of the general rainfall which has come to the people when they need it. The general rainfall which has come to the people when they need it. And there's no doubt that we were in need. Not only us, but even during, you know, the days of Jahiliyyah, the days of the coming of the Prophet, before the coming of the Prophet, they were in need. The Ummah was in need. The people were in need. Right? So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, so he mentioned, Imam al-Qurtubi mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, وَكَذَا كَانَ النَّاسُ قَبْلَ مَبْعَثِهِ, the people were like that before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَمَا أَنَّ الْغَيْثَ يُحْيِي الْبَلَدَ الْمَيِّتَ فَكَذَلِكَ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ, he says, so just like the rain falls, just like the rainfall gives life, just like the water from the rain gives life to the dry barren land, فَكَذَلِكَ عُلُومُ الدِّينِ, the same goes for knowledge of the religion. تُحْيِي الْقُلُوبَ الْمَيِّتِ, it gives life to the dead hearts. Knowledge of this religion gives life to the dead hearts. And that's why it's extremely important that individuals that are feeling weakness, individuals that are feeling lowness in Iman, that they try to attend a lesson, that they try to read a book, that they open up the Quran. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَحْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Verily this Quran, it guides to that which is better. Verily this Quran, it guides to that which is better. So it's upon a person, when an individual is going through weakness of Iman, when an individual is going through trials and tribulations of the light, that they get back to Islamic knowledge. That they get back to Islamic knowledge. But Ibn Qayyim, Tabib al-Qalb, as they say, the doctor of the heart, Ibn Qayyim said, but a person has to be patient. If they come back after Tawbah, he mentioned that in Adda'u wa Dawa. If a person feels the weakness, feels that they're falling into sin and likes of that, and now they want to turn to knowledge because they understand, like Imam al-Qurtubi said, they want to turn to knowledge because knowledge gives life to a dead heart. The Quran gives life to a dead heart. The Sunnah gives life to a dead heart. The stories of the prophets gives life to the dead hearts. When they come back and they make Tawbah, they have to be patient because Allah is going to test them. Allah is going to test them at first. They're going to feel like it's strange. And we know it. We all know that which we're referring, that which is being said right now. Person going off for some time, person feeling weak for some time, person falling into sin for some time, and now they want to come back. At first they feel strange. At first they feel uncomfortable. Ibn Qayyim said that's a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. But if they are patient, after some time they will feel ease. They will feel comfort. They will feel tranquility. So Imam al-Qurtubi goes on to say, رحمه الله تعالى ثم شبه السامعين له بالأرض المختلفة التي ينزل بها الغيث. So then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the example of the soil, the exsoil, the different types of soil. فمنهم العالم العامل المعلم. He said, so from the types of soil is the first type of soil, and that is the soil which is similar to the person who learns, the person who acts, and the person who teaches. Allahu Akbar. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala said the first soil is like the soil of the person who learns, the person who acts himself, and the person who teaches. And that's clear fiqh of the hadith. Because it's not just the person who learns. Because the person who learns without acting himself is like the second category. The person who learns without acting himself, without implementing himself, is like the second category. But this category is the person who learns, acts upon it, and then teaches it. And that's something extremely important. You have to act upon that knowledge. You have to display that knowledge. You have to act upon it. You have to display it. And you have to teach it. So learn it, act upon it, and teach it. That should be at the focal point of the life of the believer. Learn it, act upon it, and teach it. And that's understood from the fertile soil. Why? Because it absorbed it. It absorbed it. So him absorbing it was him learning it. And then it brought about the what? The vegetation. That's him acting upon the knowledge himself. What came in came out. He acted upon it. And then the people taking it away was in fact him giving it to the people. And that's something extremely important. And we've mentioned in past enough narrations about acting upon knowledge. Then he says, and another ومنهم, and I'm skipping through some of it, ومنهم الجامل العلم المستغرق لزمانه فيه غير أنه لم يعمل بنوافله أو لم يتفقه فيما جمع أو فيما جمع لكنه أداه لغيره. He said the second category is the individual that gathered the knowledge. The individual that gathered the knowledge, but he himself did not act upon it, or he did not learn it. He just gathered it. I'm just gathering book. A person that goes to the bookstore, gathers books, doesn't read, doesn't implement. He just gathers books, he puts them on his shelf. He puts them on his shelves. Someone says to him, what's in those books? He says, I have no idea. I just gather it. I have no idea. I just gather it. Okay? So that individual, he's gathering it for someone else. But he himself does not implement, nor does he read it. Right? Then he goes on. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْ الْعِلْمِ فَلَا يَحْفَظُهُ وَلَا يَعْمَلْ بِهِ وَلَا يَنْقُلُهُ لِغَيْرِهِ. And the last category is the person that does not listen to the knowledge, the person that does not memorize the knowledge, and of course if he doesn't listen and memorize, the person that does not act upon the knowledge, nor does he give it to others. That's the last category. That's the last category, and that was mentioned by Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala. Likewise, you have a statement that was mentioned by one of the ulama of our times, and like I mentioned in the past, that Sheikh Zayd bin Muhammad al-Madkhali hafizahullah ta'ala, he has printed a new explanation of the Book of Knowledge of Sahih Bukhari, and it's called Nuzhatul Qari fi Sharh Kitab al-Ilm in Sahih Bukhari. Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali hafizahullah ta'ala, he has a book called Nuzhatul Qari fi Sharh Kitab al-Ilm min Sahih al-Bukhari. And to the best of my knowledge, printed explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the only printed explanation of the Book of Knowledge of Sahih al-Bukhari. This is the only printed explanation of the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. And walillah alhamd, I finally got a copy of the book, and it's tremendous. The way Sheikh Zayd hafizahullah ta'ala breaks down the Book of Knowledge from the Salafi perspective, not only from the knowledge perspective, this perspective of seeking knowledge and how should we go about seeking knowledge, but also from the Salafi perspective, this book is tremendous. And inshaAllah ta'ala, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the future we would read from the book. And today's lesson, the time for today's lesson has ended, so I'm going to stop now. But inshallah, I promise that from the upcoming lessons, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that I will be reading excerpts from Sheikh Zayd's explanation of the book, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. In terms of the person that said, could I write? I will try. I wrote it there. Nuzhat al-Qari fi Sharh Kitab al-Ilm in Sahih al-Bukhari by Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali hafizahullah ta'ala. Inshallah, bi-idhnillah, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, in the future I will be reading, taking some excerpts from that, because it's tremendous. I read, walillah alhamd, I got the chance to read from the book, and it's a very, very wonderful explanation of the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. I regret not having the book with us from the beginning. But inshallah, there's still a few more chapters to go, so we'll be reading from it. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. And we'll continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasleem kathira.